Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Bonnie North. Every month we chat with cellist Robert Cohen about his life as a professional touring musician. The segment is called On That Note, and Cohen is with me in the studio now. Hello, Robert. It is so great to see you.
It's great to see you too, Bonnie.
It's August. It's not quite time for school to start again, but we're getting there. It's getting close. And, you know, a lot of kids are either taking a hiatus in the summer from their musical lessons, or maybe they're just going to start this autumn. You know, they haven't done it before and they're going to pick up an instrument for the first time. Was there ever a time for you when you were first learning to play that you wanted to give up because you just couldn't make a sound that you liked?
Well, it's a very good question, because I suppose it was the sound that made me want to play the cello in the first place. So that was probably, even as a child, when I started when I was five, it was probably my biggest goal. And maybe it's the goal of all children starting an instrument. They just want it to sound nice in a way that perhaps they can sing quite easily, and they want the instrument to sing like that.
But it doesn't happen that quickly.
No, and I suppose I was very lucky, so we shouldn't talk too much about my experiences as a child. I did, you know, get on very, very quickly. But what I've discovered through teaching and through my experience with children learning instruments, and with anybody learning instruments, that it is a very long road. And the most difficult thing is for people to kind of appreciate what they've achieved. So that, you know, you learn the violin for a year, and, you know, a year seems quite a lot of time. And you may, if you're very good and practice every single day, you know, you might have just barely been able to learn a couple of pieces of short pieces of music. Or, you know, if you're really starting from the beginning, you might just be playing open strings, very, very simple things. And since you're listening to music around you all the time that's highly complicated and really wonderful, and you're just playing da, 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 like this, it kind of can be really soul-destroying. And I think that's the hardest battle for anybody learning the instrument, is that, you know, the technical side of it is so complex, the muscle control and all the rules about how to move are so intricate that it literally takes years before you can play reasonably well.
And not even great, but reasonably well.
Yeah. I mean, if you're very talented, you're obviously going to move more quickly. But if you're just wanting to learn an instrument to enjoy it and to play in your school orchestra or play with an amateur group or whatever it happens to be, it's a long haul, and I think that's why most people do give up after, you know, 3 or 4 years. They think, I've spent 3 or 4 years now, and I'm just playing a very simple tune. And it's so hard for them to see what else they've discovered on the way. And I think that the beautiful part of learning an instrument is that it is so complex, and there are so many facets to that control, that the mere fact that there are so many facets, you don't notice that you've learned very fine motor control, that you've learned to read the music, that you've learned to connect your ear with the sound you make, that you're starting to adjust the sound in such a way that it can be appealing to you, and you're starting to add things all the time. But because there are so many things to add, the general progress doesn't seem...
It seems glacial.
Yeah. And yeah. I always say to people, it's like a child growing up. They never notice that they've grown. It's only when the auntie comes along and says, oh, you've grown so much. That's the first time you would notice. You don't see yourself growing. And it's such a slow process in that way that I think you do need reminders. I do think that children and adults learning music need reminders of what they've actually really learned. And those are very subtle things. It's not just now you can play this piece of music, because, as I said before, you know, one piece of music slightly more difficult than another might take you another 6 months. So I think that it's important to understand that, and it's important for teachers to explain to their pupils that, you know, the commitment is there and they are going to develop more, because I know that for those who actually arrive at a certain point where they're kind of quite You know, it's quite easy for them to play complicated music. They start to get an incredible enjoyment out of playing music. And it's like a way of expressing themselves. You know, as you know, all musicians say, well, I express myself through music. Well, anybody can do that if, you know, they have that sort of basic facility.
They've got to have the skill. Yeah. And I think that's it. It's like the disconnect between what you're capable of producing and what you hear in your head.
Mm.
And I think that gets frustrating for people who are at the beginning level, are learning and wanting to improve, but not seeing that improvement happen.
Yes. And it's, in a way, it is the job of the teacher and maybe the performer to convince those people that they can achieve something. And of course, for musicians, we're in a way, we're also up against this because we always want to play better. We always want a facility that allows us to do complicated things more easily. We want to be able to express ourselves more powerfully all the time. So we're challenging ourselves every single time we go into the practice room in order to be able to be better. So in a way, the road never, it continues.
It never ends.
No.
Yeah. When you're teaching and when you're in that position of working with a young student or an adult student who's just starting, what kinds of things do you do? How do you encourage them without pandering to them?
I think it's all about sound in a way. When somebody achieves a sound, like you said, that connects with the kind of ideal, and very often people playing don't notice that they've just done something rather beautiful. Rather wonderful, because they're so involved in how they did it, in playing the next passage, in what's going to happen next, that they almost just bypass the fact that they've just done something that is really expressive. So as my teachers would say to me, did say to me many, many years ago, you know, when I was had my head down, deep in concentration, trying to play something really well, he would just say, hey, just look out the window. So I would have to play and just look out the window. And then that detachment from, you know, my head buried in the cello, I would suddenly realize that it was just happening. It was just coming out of the instrument. And actually, it wasn't too bad, you know.
Well, that's always hard to judge yourself. It's always hard to, you know, to be an objective judge of what you're doing. Do you ever use recording devices and play back for students to say, hey, listen to what you just did. That's really good.
That's a really good question because a lot of my students like to do that, but they have trouble with it. And I don't tend to suggest they do it because, you know, the sound on recordings is inferior to live, the live sound. Even, you know, and they're not going into a high-tech recording studio.
Yeah, they've got their iPhone.
Yeah. And so what they get out of it is a very shallow version of what they've actually done. And so it's not inspiring. It doesn't give them a feeling that they had when they were playing or that they should have when they're listening. So I don't condone that, really. I think that it's much better that they try to find a way of listening to themselves without all the baggage of being too self-conscious. And that is an extraordinarily complicated thing that they have to learn. It's one of the biggest skills, how to play music and not to be so buried in your own head while you play that you don't notice what's actually going on outside. I think we've talked about this before, the sense of what you do and what you hear. So I think recordings are a complicated thing. I think it's not the ideal.
So how do you convince a student? What do you do to get them to really take in, not just hear it and say, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, I did great, but to actually say, oh, because if they've made a sound or done a passage that's particularly lovely, you want them to be able to hear it so that they can do it again or kind of know what they've done so that they can make sounds like that again.
It's a very tricky one. I mean, this is the fascinating part of teaching, is because when you get a student who plays and they've just played a whole section really, really beautifully, and then they say, well, and they say to you, well, was that okay? And you're saying, what do you mean? Okay, that was absolutely wonderful, you know. And then they need your recognition of that. But of course, what's important is that they recognize it, like you said. And it comes sometimes when you encourage them to not to follow preconceived ideas about what they want to do, but just to be expressive and just to feel the freedom. And it's the freedom, actually, you know, that you feel when you're playing that gives you the excitement. So when they feel that they're not tied down by technical difficulties, that they're just starting to play and actually they could do it this way or they could do it that way, and they start to feel expressive in a unrestricted way, then they start to notice that they're actually doing something, they're creating something, and that in creating something they're actually achieving what they set out to do, which they don't always recognize. That sometimes they think that what they have to do is they have to play Beethoven really, really well. But actually what they really should be doing is creating a piece of art, you know, as they play, which is Beethoven. They should actually be part of Beethoven. But if they are creating, or if you like, recreating Beethoven, and when they feel that they're being creative, then they start to appreciate, actually, this is my way. This is actually how I feel about it. And it may not be perfect in every sense, but I am actually doing what I really set out to do, which was to be a creative person. And, you know, in a way, taking us back to, you know, the children and how they learn music and the appreciation that they might have, or anybody has learning music, I feel very strongly that it's the recognition that they are being creative. And the feeling of being creative that is the inspiration that allows them to carry on through the tough times when it doesn't always work. But just to feel like an artist. And feeling like an artist is very different from doing your homework in a history test or, you know, a math exam or whatever it happens to be. Being a creative person that is just able to express themselves in an area without feeling that they have to abide by certain rules. That's being an artist in a way. You know, we're a little bit like rebels, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like shutting off the brain in some ways and just letting it, being in the moment, or being, I was thinking about being in the zone, you know, a sporting analogy, where when everything is working, they're just in that. And I imagine that's the same for musicians.
It's exactly the same. And I think that the feeling of having done more than you expected to do, which is when you're in the zone, you somehow are able to be more expressive than the effort you're putting into it. It just seems to pour out of you. And if you can get that feeling when you're learning an instrument, even just for a moment or two, just occasionally, that feeling that you are an artist, then that, I think, is what feeds you to continue even through the tough times. And we know about the struggling artist, you know, without food, without, you know, in terrible conditions, but still painting and still getting out. It happens. It is what being an artist is about. You just have that desire and that need to be creative. And it is quite a fantastic feeling. And I have to say, you know, it's a privilege to have that in my life. And I know other artists feel that too. And I think that when children learning instrument, if they can just pick up a little bit on that, it will lead them through.
It will feed them, and it will make all those hours of practicing worth it. We hope.
Definitely.
Yes. Well, Robert, as always, such a pleasure to have you in the studio, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Like That contributor Robert Cohen is an award-winning recording artist, conductor, artistic director, and cellist for the Fine Arts Quartet. He spoke with us as a part of our regular monthly segment called On That Note with Robert Cohen.